Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Psalm 24 is an amazing verse. Psalm, not just one verse. I'm going to read the whole lot too. There's a particular part God wants me to share on this morning. I'm going to read the whole psalm for you though. Verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Verse 3, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. What an amazing psalm. In fact, I could preach on a number of different topics from this morning because there's so much packed into it. In particular, though, I feel God wants me to focus on verses 3 through to 6. But like I said to you last time I spoke, I'm always open to God leading totally. And this morning, as I've been sitting there and as a very clear message has been coming through, it came through this morning in communion, it came through the songs we sung, that we are free because of Jesus. And it's a message I think as Christians we must never, ever, ever forget. And I'm jumping my head of myself a little bit at the moment, but I'll get back on track in a moment. But it's so important we understand that principle, not just up here, but down here. We have to understand that we are free for no reason other than Jesus' death on the cross. There is nothing on heaven or earth that will ever reconcile us back to the Father except through his Son. Nothing. And Jesus himself said, I think it was in John, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes back to the Father but by me. We live in a society that we have for hundreds of years, but particularly now where we get so many different ideologies, so many different theologies, so many different ideas of what it is that will give us peace in the afterlife. But respectfully, the truth is this, there's only one way and one means that we can achieve that, through Christ. And yet that simple truth is so easy to forget because there's an enemy who wants to steal the truth of that scripture, steal the truth of what God has said to us and twist it and lie and deceive. And I know in my own life, there's times, even though I've had a relationship with God ever since I was this high, there's times I've forgotten the truth of that and I've walked away feeling condemned. But God does never condemn us. Condemnation leads to death. But God will convict us because conviction will lead to life when we respond to it. Verse 1 and 2, I'm just going to touch on this very briefly, says the following. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And we sang about this morning. The world and all who live in it. For you founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. The main point I want to draw out of this is this. We are not our own. We think we're invincible, we think we're mighty and we're strong as young men, all those types of things. End of the day, we are God's. We are completely God's. He created the heavens and the earth. He created you and me, and we are not our own. 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20 says the following, do you not know your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your bodies. Let us never forget that we are not our own. In fact, we're going to talk about this a little bit later on because it becomes very relevant later on as we talk about verses 4 and 5. But that was not written at the start of Psalm. It's just as an add-in or as a coincidence. It's there for a reason. We'll see more later on. Verse 3, though, moves on. And this is where I want to start to focus a bit more. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? I used to read that and think, okay, well, what's that really saying? Obviously, there must be some type of requirement. There must be something that we have to do to be able to ascend before God. Because our God is a holy God. I don't know about you, but sometimes you say that so easily, but I forget the significance of what I'm actually saying. We worship a holy God. Who are we to stand before the Father in our brokenness, in our sinful nature? Because he has no part in that. He can't connect with that because he is holy. As I said, I think sometimes in my own life, I forget that. I talk about it, I play it. One of my favourite hymns I love to play on trumpet is Holy, Holy, Holy. But the truth of that is absolutely significant. He is a holy God. So how can we stand before the Father in our brokenness? And it says it right here, who may stand in his holy place? And even says in Leviticus, consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am the Lord your God. The answer to that question is in the next verse. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. I used to struggle with that verse when I was younger, I'll be honest. I used to look at it and go, God, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, how can I stand before you, God? I know who I am. I know all my inadequacies, all the things I do wrong. I know the things I trip up over so easily, time and time and time again. And I'm not just saying it. That's actually something I struggled with when I was younger. I said, God, how can I stand before you? I get the part about, you know, swearing and not swearing to an idol, etc. I sort of get that, swearing by what is false. But God, how can I have a pure heart? How can I have clean hands? And then God one day showed me, I'm reading it the wrong way, or I'm misunderstanding what God has done for me. In fact, I believe this verse we need to break into two parts. And in particular, I plead the first half is what God wants me to emphasise this morning. Because one day I realised I actually do have clean hands and a pure heart. Really? You already have clean hands and a pure heart. Why? Because what Jesus did on the cross. The truth of that will never, ever change. And like I said to you before when I introduced this morning, I think sometimes as Christians we forget the truth of what that is. We know at the time of our salvation because that's why we respond. We want to be have a relationship with God. We want to have our sins forgiven. But as life goes on, we forget the truth, the significance of what he did on the cross. The enemy does try to deceive us. He does try to condemn our thinking. And we therefore too easily allow our own thoughts, our own emotions, and that's certainly me because I'm an emotional person at times, to disqualify us from believing that this applies to us not just at the time of our salvation, but this applies to us every single day of our lives. Nothing changes. We are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. And we forget that truth. I know I do at times. At times I have to be reminded. There's nothing I can physically do to be reconciled back to my God except through his son Jesus. I wonder how many of you have thought like this at times. I know as I've grown up I have. Well, let's read the Bible for 2 hours every day. Well, that'd be a good thing. God would be pleased with that. That'll give me a few brownie points. Has anyone else thought like that? Anyone prepared to be honest? I know I have. Thank you. It's nice to know I'm not on my own. But it's true. Or maybe if I go and pray for 3 hours a day, that's a good thing. Or God will be really pleased with that. All those things are fantastic. All those things are necessary and good. Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. But there's nothing I can actually physically do to be able to stand before God except through his son Jesus. And the moment I realized that, I was free. I no longer felt condemned because I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was forgiven through Christ's blood. And like I said to you at the start, we live in a society, a world more and more and more these days, which will give you every other alternative except the true alternative. You get so many different ideologies. You get so many other theories and theologies of what it is to do this or do that. I remember when I first went to university all those years ago. And I'll be honest, I was a pretty sheltered Christian. I used to listen to Sandy Patty, and I'm very proud to admit that. Who said that then? I heard, woohoo! You and I, awesome. I'll just give you a little secret. I listened to her yesterday in the car. But I was on my own, because my family go, Michael, turn that off, seriously. But I was a very sheltered Christian. I was pretty wet behind the ears. The first week I went to university, oh my goodness. What an eye-opener. You have a club for that? People really do that? Now, I wasn't totally naive, but I was pretty close, I think. And all these different ideologies were thrown at me. Join this club, join that club, do this, do that. In fact, I was at Melbourne Uni just last year, or was it the year before, and I was up near the student centre, and I saw all these posters up there, and I'll be honest, my goodness, they were even different from when I was last at uni. The things our young people get thrown at university, that this is the way, this is the truth, this is the life, these are the things you need to go and do. It was incredibly disturbing. But the truth is, there's one way. And one way only. And I'm repeating that a lot this morning because I believe I need to. We must not forget this truth. Romans 3, 22 to 24 says this. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. God is a holy God. He is a glorious God. We all fall short of it. But we are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. Do you really believe that? Do you live that every day of your life? Do you rest in the confidence of that? Or like me at times, do you let the enemy deceive and trick and twist that truth and condemn you because of your actions or your thoughts or your behaviour? Because I think if we're really honest with ourselves, sometimes we let that happen too easily. He knows the truth because the truth defeated him. The enemy knows the truth because he was defeated through the cross. That cross for us represents life. It represents hope. For the enemy, it represents complete defeat. Romans 5, 19 to 21 says the following. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Think about that for a second. One thing I'm learning more and more is when I read something to stop and think about it. Just read a few verses and ponder on it and think about it. What does that mean for me? Let's say it again. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Have you ever had a week where you thought, gee, I really mucked up this week? Gee, God must be unhappy with me. Look what I've done. Look what I've said. Have you had thoughts pop in when you've done it going, oh, that's a good one. Good on you. You've really mucked that up now, haven't you? Who says that? It's not God. The enemy wants to steal the truth of God's word from us. But we must never let that truth be stolen because it's for us to live by every day. We've talked about this last time I spoke. We have clean hands and a pure heart, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did for us. We can ascend the mountain of the Lord. We can stand in his holy place right now because of Jesus. And more we understand the truth of that, the more and more liberated, I believe, as Christians we can become, and we can rest in the truth of that. Yes, of course we're going to muck things up. We are not perfect people. Of course we're going to fall short of God's glory. Even these last 2 weeks, God has assigned an aspect of my life. He said, Mike, do you realise this? And I have to admit, I said, no, God, I didn't. Did he do it to condemn me? No. Did he do it to throw the book at me? No. He did it so he could change me and I could be free. It was an interesting 2 weeks. But I stand here today because I am free once again like you because of Jesus. There's no condemnation. It says in Romans 8 verse 1, there's no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Maybe this morning you're sitting here, you're wondering about this God stuff. Maybe you're wondering, is this the truth? Is this the way? Can I really have a relationship with the Father? Yeah, you can. You may be getting all sorts of different things going through your mind. You've said, what about this idea? What about that idea? I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody, but this is what I believe, the Word of God. There is no other way. There is no other way. And this morning, as I was preparing for this sermon, I felt God wanted to really impress upon all of us that we must not forget this. That we can stand here free. Our chains are gone. I've been set free. I love one of the songs we've been singing for a little while. In fact, I was talking about it with Andy the other day. The Man of Sorrows. I've been listening a lot to that in the car. I don't always listen to Sandy Patty. And it says the following. Oh, that rug across, one of the verses. I think it might be the chorus, is it? My salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise and honour unto thee. And there's another verse which I think sums up what I'm trying to get across this morning perfectly. Now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Now your debt has been paid. Your debt has been paid in full by the precious blood that Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin that had a hold on you has no hold on you any longer, because whom the Son has set free, you are free indeed. I don't know about you, but that makes me excited. It actually makes, you know what, God, in my weakness as a man, in my weakness as a human, God, you love me and you have forgiven me, and that is a part of my life each and every day. But there is a second part to this verse. I think it's important we look at it. Make sure I've got the right slide here. No, I'll go back a little bit. But it does say, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. It says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. We've talked about that. That's what God did for us. But God's looking for a response from us still. There's a part we still have to play. And that's the second half of the verse. Who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. It's interesting. Idols are a very interesting thing when you think about it. What is an idol? In its simplest form, it's anything that takes our focus and trust off God. Anything that takes it off. Idols can be really obvious. Money, wealth, fame. They're really obvious ones, but sometimes it's the more subtle ones that we don't always realise. There's one in particular I want to really touch on, and I hope I don't offend anyone when I say this. But of course, I think every one of us struggle with this at different times in our lives on more than one occasion. It's the idol of self. Our own selves get in the way sometimes of trusting God, of keeping our focus on God. And I know I've tripped up on that many, many times. I try to do things in my own ability. I try to do things in my own strength. I try to work it out my way. And if those who went on the young adults camp last year, I spoke one night, talked about a journey God took me on. And I was trying to work out what my life was going to look like in the next future. And I had it all planned out pretty well. But God decided, no, I'm not going to get on that path yet. I'm going to take you on a different path. It was hard. But it was learning to let go of me and put my eyes back on the Father. It was learning to take my eyes off me and my own abilities, whatever they might be, and go, you know what, God, I have to let them all go. It's not about me, it's about you, Lord. And I believe God wants to challenge us this morning about the idol of self in our own lives. Are there things in your life right now you know you put more priority on those than you do on God? Or is there an idol in your life where you put more security on that than you do on God? It's a challenging thing when you think about it. But it's something we have to let God touch. My encouragement this morning is, if you know this is starting to prick something in here, if you know God's convicting something, respond to it. Don't dismiss it. Don't go, well, God, no, I'll deal with that later. Deal with it now. Let God start to touch that thing. One thing I've been, once again, learning more and more and more is, as I let myself go in God, as I let the things of myself go and say, God, I will just trust you. And gee, it's so easy to say. I trust you, God. Yep, cool. I said that to God only just a few months ago, or probably a month and a half ago. These last 2 weeks, God really tested that. Do I really trust God? And I realised a part of my life I wasn't. I've been doing a lot of inner checking out lately, as you can probably see. Is there something in your life you need to surrender to God and no longer allow to be there because it's yourself? And that goes on and says, swearing by what is false. So who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false? Swearing by what is false could simply be, yeah, speaking lies, absolutely. But I think it's a bit more than that. I think it's also speaking the word of God truthfully and knowing the word of God in our life and sticking to what the word of God says. Like I said before, there's so many different ideologies in the world. We must not let the different ideologies or theories or theologies of this world come in and twist in the truth of God's word. We're not to entwine aspects of the world in God's word because that's a good thing to do, or it's safer, what's more politically correct. It's God's word and God's word only. And we have to speak the word of God truthfully. I've got out of sync with my slides. Doesn't matter. John 3:21 says, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. If we live by the truth, we will come into his light. We will live by his light. Matthew 24:4 says, Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. We must not let things of this world deceive us or trick us. We need to know God's word. And we need to know it not just up in here, but have the conviction, like I said, down in here. Absolutely. 2 Timothy says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, or who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. So we need to do our best. I actually like the way it says that, to do your best. It means we don't have to be perfect, because we're not. We just have to do our very best. A worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Who correctly handles God's word. I think I know where I'm up to now. Aha, here we are, back on track. And it says in verse 5, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from their Father. We have clean hands and a pure heart. If we do not lift up our soul to an idol or swear by what is false, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. In other words, God will bless us and God has our back. God will never let us go. He has our back. In fact, it says in Isaiah, no weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I love the way it says that. Think about that for a minute. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. We worship a holy God. We worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We sang about this song last week, which the music team presented as an item. We worship an amazing God, yet he will vindicate each and every one of us because he loves us. Psalm 35 says, may those who delight in my vindication shout for joy and gladness. May they always say, the Lord be exalted, who delights in the well-being of his servant. We can sing for joy for our vindication through God. We can sing for joy because we are free. We don't have to allow the deceits of the enemy to steal away what God has given us. What an amazing heritage and inheritance we have. As you sit here right now, do you feel free? Cool. I love that. But do you? Is there a part of your life where you don't feel free? There was a part of my life I wasn't, and God showed that to me. Do you feel completely vindicated by God? Are you allowing the things of your past to pollute your future and disqualify you from everything that God has? I spoke a number of years ago somewhere, and there was a young man I got a word of knowledge on, and I could see he was carrying this enormous amount of guilt from his past. And I said one sentence, in fact it wasn't me, I believe it was God. I said, mate, everybody has a clean future. I didn't realise it at the time, but he wrote to me a few weeks later. He said that one sentence transformed him. Because he realised for the first time, even though he'd been a Christian for a little while, I am free. Not because of what he did, but because of what Christ did on the cross for him. For the first time, he started to understand the truth of that, not just up here, but down here. You can study theology from an academic point of view if you want, absolutely. I did it when I went to Table and I studied for a few years, had to write academic papers. But thankfully, I wasn't just doing it from an academic sense. It was transforming my life as well. Why? Because I know the power of the Word of God. We must not study God's Word academically. We have to study God's Word with our heart as well. The moment we learn and get it down into here and we believe and becomes our conviction, it will never be stolen from us. And in verse 6 says the following, such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Verse 4 has two requirements to ascend the hill of the Lord. God does the first part, his forgiveness, his grace through Christ. The second part, we need to have our own actions of not letting idols in our life and swearing by what is false. But there's one more thing God wants of us. Will we be a generation who will seek God's face? Who will say, God, this is not about me anymore. This is about you, Father. This is my life, God. I want to use it for you. Will it cost? Yep, it does. But like I said before, I'm learning more and more in my own life. The more I let God be Lord of my life, the freer I've become. Sounds weird when you think about it, but it's true. Someone will go and say, oh, well, God just wants to control you. No. God wants to set us free. The more we keep God away, the more we're controlling ourselves. But the more we let God in, the more we let God take control of our lives, the freer we'll become. And that's such an important principle to remember. It reminds me of that scripture. I'm going to forget it now. Help me if someone can remember it. He who finds his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You want to find everything God has for you? Then lose your life in God. Verse 7 to 10, I love these last verses. Because this talks about who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I will read this. I love Revelation 19, verses 1 to 7. This is talks about a time to come when we come back before the Father. As I read this, I just want you to listen and even close your eyes if you want and listen to the truth of what I'm saying here. More importantly, what the Word's saying here. Try and picture this. I'm a visual learner. I love to see things visually. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. In other words, God's vindication. And again they shouted, hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who was seated on the throne. And they cried, "Amen, hallelujah." Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants who fear him, both great and small." And this next one, this next verse, I love. "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready.'" That is our inheritance. This is what we will see when we get to stand before the Father and worship him. What a multitude and what a roar that's going to be. First football grand final I went to when I was in grade 2 with my dad. I saw Carlton beat Richmond. It was awesome. But I remember the first thing that hit me as I walked up into the member stand of the MCG was the roar of the crowd. It hit me. I go, my goodness, that sounds amazing. But think about what's going to be like the roar in heaven when we all stand with the angels and cry out to God and say, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God." We can worship him, and we're going to do it with one accord. But you know what? We can do that right now, right here. We can cry out to God and worship him as one family, as one body. What an amazing thing we can do, that we can ascend the mountain of the Lord. We can stand in his holy place because we have clean hands and a pure heart. And even in our faults, even in the things we muck up, God's grace is there to forgive us each and every day. My prayer this morning is the truth of this word would never be forgotten. That we would live in this word, we would rest in this word every day. The truth of what God's saying there. He wants you to rest in that truth. We don't have to strive, we can rest. And I want to learn what it is to do that more and more and more and more. That I can just sit in my before my Heavenly Father and be in his presence. That I can rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That we can rest in the shadow of the Almighty. What an amazing thing that we can do. This morning, or yesterday, sorry, you know, Friday night, I go back a little bit, as I was lying in bed, I had one of your experiences, Chris. I woke up about 2 o'clock and couldn't get back to sleep. I got the word hope. And I believe there's people here this morning, you need this hope in your life. You need this truth in your life now. But I believe it's not just for that. I believe there's people here, there's things in your life right now, you need a new, renewed sense of hope. I believe God wants to give you an opportunity to respond to that this morning. As I haven't seen them. Are Ken and Dorothy Gardner here this morning? They're not? Okay. I want to give an opportunity to respond to this morning because when God gives that opportunity, I encourage you, respond. If you know there's something in your life where you need a sense of hope, it might be about what I've just talked about this morning. Maybe there's a part of your life you know it's been stolen from you and you want to have a renewed sense of hope of the truth of that word. I encourage you to respond this morning. If you know there's a part of your life where you need a sense of hope, I actually felt in particular in relation to work, you need hope in your work situation, whatever that might be. I felt in particular for people who've been praying for people for a long time, maybe a family member or friends or a work colleague, praying that they would encounter God, but you haven't seen it yet, and you need that renewed sense of hope that God is in control. Maybe it's to do with relationships. Or maybe it's something to do emotionally you're struggling with, or physically. I felt as well for physical things. There's people here who you've been crying out for God to touch you physically, but you haven't seen the fulfillment of that just yet. I believe God wants you to stand or respond and say, "God, I need that new sense of hope." Can I just really stress, when God says these things, he doesn't do it to embarrass us. He doesn't do it to make us stand out in front of everybody. He does it because he wants to respond. I'm going to, in a minute, going to ask if you'd like to respond to this, just to stand where you are. We're going to pray. Don't sit there like I've done before, knowing, "God, I've got to get up." You've sat there. I've held onto the chair. I did that once, actually. I literally did. I'm not getting up, God. I'm not getting up. No way. How embarrassing. I know how it feels. We all do. Well, we're family here. We're here to love each other, encourage each other. So I'm going to say right now, if you would like to respond, I'd ask you to stand in your chair right now. To stand up where you are. We're going to pray. Thank you. Because there's always hope in the cross. Always hope. If you don't know Christ this morning and you want to respond to that, I would actually love you to come and see me this morning before you go. And I'd love to meet you and pray with you. But if that's you, I'd love you to stand up as well and say, I need God in my life. What I'd really love to do, maybe if there's someone standing around, people standing, could you just, around those people, just go and stand beside them if you could. If it's someone you don't even know, just go and stand with them. Don't ask them anything, just go and stand with them and put your hand, let them know you're there. And let's pray. Thank you for your boldness to stand this morning. I really appreciate that. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word. That even in our own inadequacies, God, even in our own emotions, Father, which can go up and down every day, Lord, that your truth never changes. Your word never changes. And I pray right now for every person who's standing here before you right now, Father. I don't know their story, but you do. I pray, God, that you would start to bring a renewed sense of hope to this person's life in whatever area they're standing for right now, Father. I pray, God, that you would come and honour them and bless them and restore what maybe has been taken away from them, Father, that renewed sense of hope that, God, you are able. That, Father, they can stand here, Lord. They can approach your mountain of the Lord because they have clean hands and a pure heart because of what your Son Jesus did on the cross for us. Lord, come and touch them right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for a new sense of hope in Jesus' name. We ask this, Father, not in our own strength because we have none, but we do it in your name because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I particularly pray against every spiritual thing that will try to oppose the truth of what God has said this morning upon every person here right now in the name of Jesus. Enemy, you will be silent. Because the Holy Spirit dwells within them and they are free and you are defeated. And I stand against you and I forbid you from speaking the lies and the deceits upon this person right now. And I pray, God, that your truth would continue to bubble away within them, Father, and the power of your word, Lord. I pray that, Lord, out of this will come testimonies of God, your goodness and your faith. I pray this, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can you sit down, please? I'm actually going to really quickly finish with this. I've been sitting on this for a long time. Actually, this is for you, Pastor Hal and Jill. It's 11:29. I'll finish the rest of it later if you'd like. But I feel God wants me to say this to you. Last year when you turned 99, I was sitting at my desk at work and I opened up the website of Luther College, website of LMC, and your picture popped up, Pastor Hal, on my screen. As soon as I saw that, this is leading up to your 99th birthday that following Sunday, I heard God say to me, honour this man. But he didn't just stop there. He gave me Psalm 91. I don't have time to read it all out. If you know Psalm 91, if I can find it really quickly. It starts off with, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. God wanted me to honour you because you epitomise, Pastor Hal and Jill, Psalm 91. God says, that is what you are. And this is an example to all of us. He will save you and he has saved you from the foulest snare and from the deadly pestilence. He has covered you with his feathers and under his wings you will find refuge and have found refuge. You have made the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is your refuge, and no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near you. I'm obviously paraphrasing all this, but you know what I'm saying here. And that finishes with this, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And God wanted me to honour you, both of you, Pastor Hal in particular, in terms of everything we see around us, because you've been faithful to God. But God wants to honour you, not because of what you did, but because of who you are. That's why God is honouring you this morning, because of who you are. You are a man of God. You are a man who has sought the face of the Father. I didn't get a chance to share that with you on your 99th birthday. Graham touched on it during the sermon at the end there because we ran out of time. But I've never forgotten it. I hope that one day I get a chance to deliver it, and I feel to give it to you now. He wants to honour you both because of what you have done, because of the people you are. Let that be an example to us. It's not always what we do that counts. It's who we are. That's what God looks for. And Psalm 91 is what epitomises this couple right here. I pray that that would encourage you both. But God is honouring you. I didn't get the chance to do it on your 99th. Maybe we'll do it on your 100th. But God is honouring you. And I thank you, and we thank you, that you're an example of what Psalm 91 is. Gone slightly over time. Let's just finish. Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, Lord, the truth of your word would never leave us. The truth of your word, Father, would remain strong within us. I pray for your blessing over every family here right now. I pray that, God, you would come and touch every family represented here right now. And I pray that, Lord, as a church, we will continue to seek your face, that we would continue to lay our lives before your throne, and that we would honour you. And that, God, we can stand before your presence because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.